Welcome to this podcast featuring well-known Bible teacher, Kevin Connor. For more information, visit kevinconnor.org.
Graham, that we've got on the overhead here. If you say please. Such unity, it's just... All right, you will get a copy of it. Okay, thank you. Yeah, not in the millennium, this side. Before the second coming. All right, now we have to keep moving, but how many feel you're getting something here, just the big picture? Okay, we'll go into a few more details as we get on. Okay, now let's finish on page 2 on your notes, and then we want to move into the first parable. Okay, so we've looked at ears to hear, the necessity of take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear, and then, because we're living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, having an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. All right. Now, under letter D, why speak to them in parables? All right, okay. Under definition, this is the simplest, you know, I do it more fully in the textbook I did, but a simple definition of a parable is it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's probably the simplest definition of a parable that you can get. There's more complicated ones, but an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You don't need to take this one down, but someone else has always put it, also put it, an earthly story from which some moral or principle and lessons may be learned. But an earthly story with a heavenly meaning is probably the best. All right, under number 2, purpose here, I want you to put down 2 words here. What's the purpose of a parable? Number 1, it's to conceal truth. And then go to letter A, that is, conceal truth, and letter B, to reveal truth. I'll amplify that a little bit more, but it's a twofold purpose. So the purpose of a parable is to conceal truth from those who are not really interested. That's it. The Pharisees, some of the religious leaders heard this, didn't get a thing out of it. See? So it's to conceal truth from those who are not interested, who do not have a hunger for truth. And then letter B, it's also to reveal truth to the hungry of heart. So the same parable conceals truth to one and it reveals truth to another. And I've got on my notes here, a parable is God's secret code language. It's a secret code language. If you know the Creator, you'll understand the language of creation. You know, birds and bees and seed and pearls and whatever. That's all the language of creation. But if you don't know the Creator, you won't understand the language of creation. All right, so God's secret code. And then under number 3 here, mysteries, Young's Concordance brings it out that the word mystery is not that which cannot be known, but it's that which can only be known to the initiated. So I've got your definition there. So it's when we think the word mystery, oh well, it's something unknowable. No, it's that which can only be known to the initiated. And whose ministry is it to initiate us into the Word of God? The Holy Spirit. That's your answer. So the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work to do that. Now, just before we move on to our first parable here, go to Mark chapter 4, under number 4 here. I haven't got the amplified with me here, but Mark chapter 4 and verse 13. Mark 4 and verse 13. And what I'm saying here is that this first parable that we're going to be looking at is really the key to all the parables. So listen to what Jesus said. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So if you don't understand parable 1, how are you going to understand the other parables? So parable number 1, which we're going to be looking at in a moment here, is really the key parable to all the rest of the parables. And let me say this by way of anticipation. The first 3 parables are all seed parables. I'll repeat this again later on. But the sower and the seed, and then the wheat and the tares, the good seed and the bad seed. Parable number 3, the mustard seed. They are seed parables. So we'll do that again, okay? So what I'm saying here, parable number 1 is the key to all parables. If you don't understand that, you're not going to understand the other parables. All right, now just in case you didn't get this down in our summary here, and then we're going to go to our first parable. Parable number 1, just to make sure you've got this, is the beginning of the kingdom. So the beginning of the kingdom. Then parables number 2 and 7 is the mixture in the kingdom. It's really important when we see that, because I believe we are living in the consummation of the parables in this end of the age. Mixture in the kingdom. And then parables number 3 and 4, another way I put it is the outer and inner state of the kingdom. We'll do this when we do the parable, but the outer and inner state of the kingdom. Parables 3 and 4. And then parables number 5 and 6. Parables 5 and 6 is the priceless value and cost of the kingdom. So the priceless value and cost of the kingdom. Wow, that's just so awesome. I don't know how you feel, but even though I've taught this over the years, just the thing still overwhelms me, the glory of God's word. How many can say amen this morning? Yeah, okay. All right, that's enough on introduction. We could spend more time there, but that's enough. Okay, let's go to parable now, number 1, which is on page 666. Page 3. All right, now, I do trust that, you know, you will read the word more fully. I want you to go to page 3 here. And I know you can't see this, that's why I hold it up. I want you to circle certain words, okay? So in the parable of the sower, up the top there of page 3, you've got the scriptures, you've got the parable mentioned in Matthew's gospel, it's mentioned in Mark's gospel, it's mentioned in Luke's gospel. So the 3 synoptics all do the parable of the sower. It's so important to them. Okay, now, under one column I've got A, letter A, the beginning of the kingdom and the parable symbols. And then on the other side, the parable interpretation. We'll do that as we work through. All right, now, these are the words I want you to circle, but let me just give an illustration, by the way. As I said before, I do get a little bit agitated, and ask the Lord to help me, when I hear preachers say, now, you know, when you go to the parables, all you got to do is just find a lesson and just don't make something out of everything, you know. There's these extreme preachers like Kevin Connor who make something out of everything. And don't worry about that. Just get the lesson. Listen, Jesus does this. I got it from Jesus. Because, like, let's go through the words. Remind me not to forget to remember my sentence. Okay. All right. Circle number 1, a sower. A sower. Number 3, circle seeds. And circle wayside. Just circle the words, because these are what we're going to touch on in brief. On number 4, the fowls, the dirty birds. Circle the word fowls. They're foul-minded. Number 5, circle the word stony places. Stony places. Go down to number 6, when the sun. Circle the word sun, when the sun was up. And then number 7, circle the word thorns. And then number 8, circle the 2 words good ground, good ground. And then circle 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. So circle those. And then, of course, you can underline all of number 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, how many have ever put a jigsaw puzzle together? Okay, now what do you do when you're doing a puzzle? First thing is you lay out all the parts of the puzzle, and you don't sort of pick up a part and think, oh, I don't know where that fits, throw it away. Pick up another part and think, oh, throw that away. How many know if you keep doing that, you'll have no puzzle by the time you're through? But like someone said to me 100 years ago, if I say things, Kevin, you don't understand or you don't even believe, just put it on the shelf. And somewhere down the line, God may have a ministry in the body of Christ that just takes that part off the shelf.
Be sure to visit kevinconnor.org for more information about Kevin, his books, and his ministry.